Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to the Three Inning Save podcast. We are part of the Fans First Sports Network. I'm your host, Eric Steven, and with me today is Jacob Birch. We have a Dodgers rewind for you today. Brian Salvatore is producing as always. We're taking a look at Frenchy Bordigeret, which even if he barely did anything in his career, the name alone is worth a Dodgers rewind. So, but I will tell you this, there's much more to this man. We will get to it. He was an outfielder and a third baseman, played for Brooklyn in the 30s and 40s, two different stints. I wanted to pick a Dodger from like the World War II era. That's how I sort of landed on him. There were like so many like, you know, unknown players and characters, but he was obviously a little bit before that too. But the main reason I wanted to do Bordigeret today is courtesy of the Baseball Reference Bullpen Wiki. So if you're on a player page on Baseball Reference, and I believe it's under the other tab, and you go to Bullpen Wiki, and it's essentially like not quite a, like a replication of the Wikipedia page for that player, but it kind of is that style, and it just has other, you know, fun facts about that player. But this is what what it said about Frenchy Bordigeret. Quote, "He showed up at spring training with a mustache, something not permitted in those clean-shaven days. The first player to have a mustache since Wally Schang in 1914. It would be 36 years before Reggie Jackson was the second player to break that rule." So there was like no mustaches in baseball for almost 60 years, except for Frenchy Bordigeret. Branch Rickey once said Bordigeret is, quote, "either the poorest great third baseman or the greatest poor third baseman," which one of the best quotes I've ever seen. That was courtesy of Bordigeret's Saber bio written by Norm King. So right off the bat, we're coming in hot with Frenchy Bordigeret stuff. But I wanted to tell you, Jacob, Bordigeret played in two World Series, neither with the Dodgers. The 1939 Reds lost to the Yankees, and then the 1941 Yankees beat the Dodgers. Bordigeret played in three total games, all as a pinch runner, but he never batted. He's one of 86 non-pitchers in Major League history to play in the World Series without batting. Only four players appeared in more than three games in the World Series without ever batting once. How many can you name? off the bat, what do you think?
Zero. Here, there is that. Yeah. Is that the question? How many can I name is zero?
you pass.
Correct.
I don't have the answers open yet, but just remembering this from when I wrote these notes, there's almost no way I would have gotten them. So like, but anyway,
I'm excited to hear the answer.
It's more of a fun fact than an actual answerable trivia question. So back to our guy. Stanley George Bordagaray was born in Coalinga, a town in Fresno County in California. He played college ball at Fresno State. He played 4 years for Sacramento in the Pacific Coast League. This was back when the minors were independent and sort of a thriving, competing league is a strong term, but like they were going strong. But players, you know, would just kind of stay there and play for a while. But Bordagaray hit .335 in those 4 years in the PCL. That included .351 in 1933 with a career high 7 home runs. That's reasonably important to some of his story. Sacramento sold Bordagaray to the White Sox in 1934. But with Chicago, he only played 29 games before getting sent back to the PCL. The Dodgers got Bordagaray the day after Christmas in 1934. They traded Johnny Frederick, whose franchise record of 52 doubles was smashed in 2023 by Freddie Freeman, and pitcher Art Herring. That was that deal. But let's get into the mustache. So 1936 was Bordagaray's third year in the majors, second with Brooklyn. This is from his New York Times obituary in 2000. Quote, when he arrived at spring training in Daytona Beach, Florida in 1936, he stunned the baseball world by wearing a mustache and a goatee. The mustache was grown the previous winter for a bit part in the Hollywood movie The Prisoner of Shark Island. First of all, they name movies much better back then than they do today. It was an account of the jailing of Dr. Samuel Mudd for the complicity in the assassination of Lincoln. He's listed in the credits as Stanley Bordagaray. Again, that's his given name. But as an undetermined secondary role, which is kind of hilarious on IMDb. The movie was about Dr. Samuel Mudd, who treated John Wilkes Booth after the assassination of Lincoln. This is from Justin Gilbert's Scene on Broadway column, and it's S-C-E-N-E, which is a great title for a column. This is in the Bergen Record in New Jersey that April 1936. He watched the whole movie. Quote, together with a friend, parentheses, also a friend of Frenchie's, we attended The Prisoner of Shark Island and watched every foot of the film closely. When we emerged from the picture house, we both agreed that Frenchie had not been in the picture. This week, however, the writer received a postcard marked Sebring, Florida. It bore the words, "How did you like my movie appearance?" And it was signed Frenchie. So we're convinced that a Brooklyn Dodger baseball player has discovered the perfect disguise, one you can't penetrate. However, that was not Frenchie's only film. From the Times Union in Brooklyn that March, 1936, Bordagaray said, I played in two movies last winter, Shark Island and Sutter's Gold, and my parts called for a mustache, so I raised one. I just want to point out the old news columns of the day, they spelled mustache M-O-U-S-T-A-C-H-E, or that extra, the O really adds to it, I think. It's, you know, you know it's something you can twirl, basically, like if you have a mustache. more Bordagaray here. After the pictures were finished, I thought I'd wear it for a while. My wife said I look like a real Frenchman with a mustache, so I refused to shave it. Yes, I'll wear it around the league this year if Stengel has no objections. So, sadly, after a while, that Stengel is Dodgers manager Casey Stengel. He did, in fact, have objections. Back to Bordagaray's obituary in 2000 in the New York Times. Quote, I was making $3,000 a year playing baseball, so I figured I could at least have fun while I was not getting rich. He once said, but after I had it about 2 months, Casey called me into the clubhouse and said, if anyone's going to be a clown on this club, it's going to be me. So he made him shave it. So all three of Bordagaray's above average OPS plus seasons, they came with the Dodgers, 36, 43, and 44. In 1943, he had a 120 OPS plus. That was his high. He hit .302, .379, .384 that year. He batted 302 times. That was one of his three 300 seasons, 300 or better. He hit .315 in 1936 for Brooklyn. In his 6 years with the Dodgers, again, stretched over the two stints, He hit 286, 336, 379, 98 OPS plus. So basically league average hitter. Overall, in his 11 seasons, he had 14 home runs total and a 91 OPS plus. So not like the best hitter and certainly was not a power hitter. Now, the 42 Dodgers won 104 games in Bordagaray's first year back with them, but they missed the World Series because the Cardinals won 106 games. However, he did play twice in the World Series, as I mentioned before, for the Reds in 1939 and for the Yankees in 1941. So that brings us back to the trivia question. Frenchie Bordagaray played in three World Series games, but he never batted. Four non-pitchers played in more than three games in the World Series without ever batting. Can you name them?
No.
All right, let me see if I can give you some hints here.
No.
Okay, so one of them is in the 2000s. This century, I mean, not the
it's not gonna come to me. Not at this time of night. It's later.
Okay, so I will just tell you. So the Of course, my browser has picked a time to crap out on me.
I looked it up for you.
No, that's okay. I have the list. I just wanted to look up something on one of the specific players.
There are some names on this list. Not the four, although.
Yeah. So Alan Lewis is someone who, he played in nine games. Now this is also back when the A's had they would have pinch runners. Now he's ostensibly an outfielder, but he's listed. So in Baseball Reference, like at the top of the page, it says position. He's listed as pinch runner and left fielder. He played in 156 games with the A's in six seasons and batted 31 times. So he played in nine World Series games in 72 and 73 combined, all of them as a pinch runner. And let's see, he was 0-for-2 in steals. He scored four runs though. So good for him. Onyx Concepcion played in six World Series games with the Royals, 1980 and 1985, but never batted. Andy Fox, 96, had to be with the Yankees, pretty sure. Played in four games, didn't bat. And then the 2000s one is Guillermo Heredia in 2021.
Poor Terrence Gore. One game where Chicago was forced to use him.
Yeah, that he could have been, because he was supposed to. He's won three rings, including with the Dodgers.
Two, if we didn't count that one game he played, three, four, five, six.
Well, and his whole career, it would have been
10 games.
Oh man!
I'm sorry. That's just postseason. I apologize. World Series, it would have been much less than that.
But still, yeah. So there's a bunch with three. The most famous one on here, besides Frenchie Bordagaray, obviously, is Herb Washington, who was another one of those A's pinch runners, like a former track star, and famously picked off by Mike Marshall in the 1974 World Series. He pinch ran in three games in that World Series. So yeah, that's your trivia for today. Like I said, it was more of a fun fact than a trivia. So
was it fun?
For some of us. So look back. Frenchie Bordagaray got the nickname Frenchie from his mom. The family was of French descent. He was an All-American playing football at Fresno State in 1930. He also ran track.
That's kind of weird, right? You're descended. Oh, you have a French family, and you're. I'm going to name my kid Frenchie. Are they all French? Aren't you all?
Yeah, I guess I didn't look. Does he just like? Was he an only child? That's a good question.
Was his mom like the odd, like not Frenchie, and she just like harbored ill will?
Yeah, I'm so mad we moved. I don't think it's that, because it was more like a previous song. But yeah, you're right. Like it's like, naming like your. your son's like Aristotle and Pete, you know, or whatever like that, or whatever. Just weird. Anyway, Frenchie was elected to the Fresno Athletic Hall of Fame in 1962. That was one of the first classes, if not the first there. Several sources mentioned that Bordigray's father wanted him to be a concert violinist. Again, there's just layers to this guy. The Dodgers traded Bordigray to the Cardinals in December 1936. So he's joining like the last legs of the Gas House Gang in St. Louis. This is from a 1944 UP story. You know, sort of catching up with him later. Frenchie settled for the washboard thumping role in Pepper Martin's musical Mudcats, the Cardinals Gas House Gang's misnamed orchestra. The Morning Call in New Jersey in 1938 mentioned that Bordigray played the harmonica in that band. I'm assuming there was a literal washboard he was thumping for some sort of drums, but so he's multi-instrument, but this is without even getting to the violin. But with the Dodgers in the 1940s, Bordigray did get to show off his violin skills from the LA Times in 1992 when they sort of caught up with him. Second baseman Eddie Baczynski was best known not as a hitter or fielder, but as a concert violinist, another concert violinist on the Dodgers that year. He would bring his violin to the clubhouse and play long, mournful concertos as the team sank deeper and deeper into the standings. That's great. And then still going here from the LA Times. Then one day we won, and when we ran back into the clubhouse, Frenchie Bordigray had taken the violin and was playing Turkey in the Straw, pitcher Clyde King said. We all had a great time.
Was Baczynski another former Dodger Rewind?
I look back. I don't think so.
And, had another violinist. Why is this being reading bells?
You know, he might be. I'll look this up. God, that's funny. You're right. That does ring a bell, and I cannot remember. Maybe they just had other violinists. Yeah. We're really missing out here. I was surprised at that, though. We did not do a rewind on Johnny Frederick. I couldn't find it. So Bordigray played in the minors in 1940 for the Yankees in between his World Series years. He played for the Kansas City Blues that year, where he hit .358 with 39 doubles. He led that league with 214 hits. That year, he had hits in 13 consecutive bats, setting a league record. Just as a reminder, the major league record is hits in 12 straight at bats. So Frenchie Bordigray, he could hit a little. We'll talk a little bit more about the rest of his career. Yes, there's more after the break.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, so many of the stories about Frenchie Borgre seem apocryphal. This is from 1944, a UP story by Oscar Fraley. I'm just going to read this whole thing. I clipped the entire, or like a big section of it. But cocky and aggressive, despite his miniature size of 5'7", the confident Frenchie immediately challenged anybody in the Coast League to a foot race. Jess Hill, an Olympic dash man who had been up with the Yanks, accepted the offer and Frenchie made good on his promise. But that didn't satisfy Bordy, so at the 1932 State Fair, he offered to race a horse. They put him up against a pacer, not an Indiana pacer, mind you, Star Etawa, in a 100-yard dash. And when the horse won by a slightly larger nose, Frenchie charged that the horse was needled and demanded it given a saliva test. So already I love this guy. So then if you go, I saw another mention of this horse race. So the race with the horse was not as close as that article would suggest, even though that's a great story, so it should be. This is from his Sabre bio. Quote, Frenchie also gave new meaning to the term horse racing. That's fun. When he actually ran a 100-yard race against a horse named Eat'em Raw. So we're just translating here, apparently. At the California State Fair in Sacramento, Borgre ended up eating the horse's dust as the nag ran the distance in 8.75 seconds. Frenchie's time was not reported. Oh, that's even better. So because of his like weird quirkiness and, you know, the mustache and all that kind of stuff, Borgre had a lot of run-ins with Casey Stengel, who managed the Dodgers from 34 to 36. They were only together in the last two of those seasons. This is from the New York Times obit of Borgre again, way in 2000. Quote, when he was picked off of second base in a game with the Cubs, Stengel argued that with the umpire that Borgre had been standing on the bag the whole time. But Borgre told Stengel that he had been tapping the bag and been caught in between taps. from his Sabre bio, quote, during one exhibition game, Borgre's hat fell off while chasing a fly ball. Frenchie, being Frenchie, stopped to retrieve the hat, then continued chasing the ball. Stengel stood in the dugout with his arms hanging and his mouth open. He couldn't believe what he was seeing, said former Dodger Buddy Hassett. When Frenchie got back to the dugout, Stengel asked him what he thought he was doing there. The cap wasn't going anywhere, Borgre said Stengel, but the ball was. I forgot, Frenchie said. So we got a lot of weird stuff. This is another one from the Baseball Reference Bullpen Wiki. Quote, he once failed to slide into third base in a game against the rival New York Giants. Stengel fined him $50. The next day, Frenchie slid into every base after hitting a home run, earning him a $100 fine for showing up the skipper. Once Borgre plunked Stengel with a throw during practice, knocking out the manager. Stengel said, I'll send Frenchie to Podunk tomorrow. Now, I will point out, I believe another point said the game where Borgre slid in on a home run. I believe that was like the last day of the season. So like, you know, not that it's acceptable or whatever, but the circumstance there. I just wanted to add that. But despite all those run-ins, Borgre had high praise for Stengel. This is from the Kansas City Star in 1958, noting as the Yankees were celebrating the World Series in 1941 at some restaurant, Borgre, who was on that team, went up to general manager George Weiss and manager Joe McCarthy, who were eating with Casey Stengel, who was then Boston Braves manager 8 years before he managed the Yankees. Quote, all of a sudden, I found myself running up to their table, shouting to McCarthy that the fella next to him, Stengel, was the best damn manager I ever played under. Casey would win the pennant 15 times if he had the players you had. I just want to point out, McCarthy was his current manager, who was sitting right there, and he's like, you know the guy you're sitting with? He's way better than you, and he's kind of right. So the Yankees released him that winter, and that's when he re-signed with the Dodgers. It should be noted that McCarthy in 1941 had managed 16 seasons to that point. It had won 7 pennants, one with the Cubs, six championships with the Yankees. Easily the most successful manager to date at that point. And here's Borgeri going, look at this guy's way better than you. So McCarthy would win two more pennants in 42 and 43, including the championship in 43. So Stengel, by the time he got to the Yankees, he won 10 pennants in 12 years, including seven championships. So, but McCarthy's seven titles also came in a 12-year span, 32 to 43, with eight pennants. So in AL NL history, McCarthy's 6.15 winning percentage over 24 years with the Cubs, Yankees, and Red Sox is second all-time. You know who's first? Dave Roberts. 6.30 winning percentage in 8 years with the Dodgers. So that's fun. So wild stories were sort of part of the charm with Bordegray, who told the LA Times in 1992, I always gave them a story. I told the sports writers, as long as you spell my name right, you can say anything you want about me. Now, he didn't make the Dodgers in 1946, which would have, had he played in at least one game that year, he would have qualified for the pension, which I believe started that year. It started the next year, but you had to play in like 1946 to qualify for it. So, but instead, he was asked to manage the Three Rivers in Quebec in the Canadian-American League, but also played outfield for them. That year, the Dodgers not only signed Jackie Robinson to play in Montreal the year before he debuted in Brooklyn, but also Don Newcomb and Roy Campanella were signed to play in Nashua, where they were managed by Walt Alston. So three other black players played in Three Rivers for Bordegray, or two others, excuse me, pitchers Johnny Wright and Roy Partlow. Wright was 32, Partlow 29, older than the other black players the Dodgers signed that year. They would all become stars, but neither Wright nor Partlow made the majors, at least in the National League and American League sense. Bordegray to the Fresno Bee in 1986. We had a couple of guys from the South who wanted to start something. I told them, if you want to stay on this ball club, keep your damn mouth shut. I didn't want to upset the black guys. If it weren't for them, we wouldn't have won. Three Rivers that year finished first and won the league championship. Montreal and Nashua also won their league titles. The Dodgers were sort of stockpiling talent. And, you know, it sort of paid off because they were about to take off at the major league level too. Bordegray was 36 that year. He hit 363, 457, 513 with 27 doubles and 20 steals as a player in his first year as manager. So in 1947, he managed Greenville in the South Atlantic League, but he also played the outfield. But on July 15th, 1947, the same day he was presented his MVP award for the previous season. Now, I was looking this up. I thought that seemed like a very late date to like announce an MVP award for the previous year. But I think that was just when they gave him the trophy. Like it was, they knew about it before. But on that day, July 15th, Bordegray punched and spat on umpire Dallas Blackiston. So not the best, not the best way to go out. Bordegray was playing left field and after a catch appeared to double off someone at first base in Augusta, but the runner was ruled safe. Bordegray ran in from left field to argue and went nuts. He got suspended for 60 games. From a statement from Sally League President Earl Blue, quote, he had to be forcibly ejected from the field by Augusta police, but not, however, before he struck and, according to the umpire's report to me, spit on the umpire, end quote. Greenville team president tried to appeal the suspension, but was denied. The league president, Earl Blue, said, Bordegray admitted to him that he spit on the umpire, and he said, I consider the matter closed. So he never managed again. So Bordegray's like post-baseball activities included, this is one of those, would have been great on the back of a baseball card. He developed several cemeteries. he owned a restaurant and club in Kansas City and St. Louis. He worked for the city of Ventura in the Parks and Recreation Department. He was elected to the Ventura County Sports Hall of Fame in 1986. He lived a full life, lasting until he was 90 years old. When he died in 2010, he was survived by his wife, Victoria, four kids, seven grandkids, and six great-grandchildren. That is our look back at Frenchie Bordegray. This is one of those great ones where knew really hardly anything about him going in and just every little thing. I was like, wait a minute, this happened? This happened? Oh, my God, this is great. So what do you think? This was a good one, I think.
It was. I will note we did rewind Eddie Vizinski. This was when they were joined. So we would do a normal episode and end or have rewind in the middle or end with it. So There you go.
We did it when he passed away a few years ago, right? Mm-hmm. Like that was
near the start of actually the first episode of 2022.
Oh man, good lord. We've been doing this a while. Yeah, that's our look back at Frenchie Bordigeret. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for listening to the Three Innings Save podcast. We are part of the Fans First Sports Network. I'm Eric. I'm Eric Birch. What? No,
I'm Eric Steve.
That's right. I'm Eric Steve, and that's Jacob Birch. We're produced by Brian Salvatore on the ones and twos. We'll be back with you with our regular episode in a few days. Thanks for listening, everybody.